Welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
And I'm Amanda. And we don't have a guest.
We don't have a guest today. Today is just Amanda and I, and we're talking all about characters.
Yep.
People, I think they like our characters.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of them.
We do a lot of them, and they randomly pop up, or we think about them for a long time, and they're just in random spots all over Smosh, and we never talk about how they were created.
We don't really talk about... Yeah, we don't talk about our characters.
Right.
We just do them a lot.
Yeah.
So I figured it'd be nice to take a whole episode and talk about them.
I love it.
Talk about maybe their origins, or their backstories, like what inspires us, what inspired them from our lives.
Yeah.
I realize I do a lot of characters, and then I realize, like, in hindsight, like, oh, that's where it came from.
Yes. Yes, me too. Like, most of them are people that I know, but sometimes they're prompted.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of characters are born in TNTL.
Totally.
But then, which we don't really do anymore, a lot of them were born for funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, like, the main one.
True. It's true. Yeah. A lot of them.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, how have you been? What's going on?
I've been good.
Yeah?
I've been good.
I've been good.
I've been really good. 2024 has been rocking my world.
It's, dude.
What is going on?
It is a lot.
Like, it's
stuff has happened this year.
Stuff has happened. Yeah.
Things have happened.
Things have happened. When does this come out?
losing track. I guess something I will say to our listeners is, like, we're trying really hard to have episodes come out, like, quicker.
Yes.
Like, so that when we're talking about things, it's like, but it's hard because we're filming these episodes alongside all of our other content. So a lot of times, like, we'll film an episode and it releases, like, a month later. And
we're actively trying to film these episodes closer and releasing them closer so they do feel relevant, so it is in the moment.
And I feel like our conversations and what we talk about, it's evergreen. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. But I would like it to get closer so that we can talk more about, like, stuff we're seeing online. Cause, like, we did our TikTok, but, man, Costco guys, I wished I could have talked about that. Cause that was my TikTok feed for a while. We're Costco guys. Of course, we got to try the new double chunk chocolate cookie. What is that? Double chunk chocolate cookie.
Those two are new characters.
Those are characters. No, I said, when I saw that, I was like, that's the most Arizona guy I've ever seen in my
100%.
Life. That is dudes in Arizona, was that Costco guy.
That poor kid, like, the first shot when you showed me that video, his eyes, there's so much story in them. He's like, I don't want to be here, but also I love my dad.
I think he loves being there.
I don't know. I think he loves... how do I put this? I think he loves his dad so much.
Yeah. He loves like, oh, I'm
he loves
doing
his
this
dad, but he's like, I'll do whatever.
People have talked about on TikTok, people were talking about how that kid, like, it's like those eyes. Have you ever seen a kid who is more designed to rock a propeller hat and have a big popsicle and be like, golly gee, mister, a whole nickel?
That thing that you showed me that was like, those eyes should never see war.
They were not meant to see war. It's so good.
It's so good.
No, on TikTok, I want to talk about, like, and we missed the whole, like, Pookie thing. We never talked about that here.
Well, we did a TikTok.
We do a TikTok. We'll always do a TikTok.
Pookie, we never talked about it here.
We don't talk about it because I know when I'm watching a TikTok and I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this on the podcast. But I'm like, TikTok memes have a lifespan of like 5 days now.
Yeah.
Because I know by the time people are listening to this, Costco guys, ancient history.
Ancient history. Nobody, and Pookie is already kind of.
They're one of the, like, they're one of the bottom layers of the geologic timetable.
Wait, did the Pookie... We talked about Pookie a
little bit. Did we talk about Pookie a little bit? But I feel like once we've talked, but, like, it's already, like, passed.
Like, I can't even talk about Kate Middleton right now because I shouldn't, because she has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
I remember we, like, whenever we bring up anything, like, I remember thinking about that. We never did talk about Kate Middleton much because I'm like, I'm worried about, as stories go, like, what's going to unfold, and I can't predict the future. It could have been... something mundane, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, like, and it's scary. It's scary.
I didn't really, like, it was always like, okay, where is she? But it was also like, clearly this woman needs space and what? We need to kind of back away. And I think a lot of people are feeling really shitty right now.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Especially the people that spent so much. Someone showed me this video of them breaking down her in the car. They were like, look, if you see 360 degrees, it turns around. She is paper. She's like a paper mannequin person. It wasn't her in the car. And it's like, what do you do for a job? What's your day like that you're making this video?
And it's just, I think it goes to prove too, like a lot of times, like once we get into this realm of being like, what's going on here? What's happening? It's like, it's probably not something that is going to be fun to find out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be some crazy thing. It's going to be like, yeah, she's really sick and she doesn't hang out.
Well, that's always the case. I mean, to bring it back to true crime, people have all these conspiracies like, oh my God. And then when they find out the truth, it's actually just really sad.
It's always like a real answer. The real answer is always like kind of devastating.
I think that's why humans make up or really dive into conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Oh, I for sure, and we're obviously getting heavy for a second here before we get light again with our characters, but
well, maybe.
I do think, like, I with a lot of conspiracy theory stuff, it's like you want life to have some sort of, you want there to be some sort of big grand thing that you're a part of, and it's like, I don't know, like, a lot of times, like, the answer is boring. It can be really sad and devastating, but it's often, like, not as exciting as you
I
want
agree.
It to be.
And I also say, like, I know that you said going deep, but I want to say that, like, that's what you and I do. Like, we think about all this stuff, all this deep stuff. And I think that's because a character cannot just be a voice, right? A character cannot just be an outfit. Like, it has to have layers. In order to have layers, it has to, your brain has to go to a deep spot.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be
some we're creative thinkers, too. So when blank spaces.
We're brilliant.
When blanks, we're so fucking
just kidding.
Genius.
Just kidding.
No, but when blank spaces are left out in the world, we fill them with creativity.
Yeah.
And we come up with all the things it could possibly be. And yeah, we do that with our characters.
And how we cope. That's how we, like, go through the world.
Yeah, and I realize I'm someone, like, I'm such a visual thinker. I'm often thinking in these hypotheticals. I love, like, playing things out in my head. Characters come about naturally. What's really funny, though, is so many of my characters, I think, they develop over time. And a lot of times my characters kind of develop in a way that almost comes from fan conspiracy, where I'll create a character, but I haven't thought a lot about who they are. Mm-hmm. And I will read what fans think and theorize about the character, and I let that also helps me build it out. So a lot of my characters are kind of like a group effort, and like a back and forth. Yeah, absolutely. Like, recently I'll talk first about my most recent character, which you've seen, which is the bystander.
Yeah, just
very stupid character, I guess we can call him, but
relatable.
Truthfully, that was not a character I planned at all. I had written some notes the night before that I was like, okay, I'm going to do a bit where I'm going to go and I'm going to hand these notes to someone, and it's just going to be a silent bit. And I was like, okay, I need to put on a costume. So I found it's like this blonde wig, some sunglasses, because sunglasses are always funny. They're different than The Chosen, but they look kind of like it. And then just took a big, long trench coat and then a cup of coffee. And I do it to Daniel Thrasher, our guest, first. He laughs before I even hand him the note. And I was like, sweet, I'm off. I'm not going to do this bit. And then I do it for Angela and I make her laugh. But then I just like, she was so bothered by like the appearance of this guy that I was like, I'm just going to stand around and just continue
like
to be there and just be a bystander.
And the bit's over.
The bit's never over.
That's true.
I'm giving you a compliment. What's happening? Try not to laugh. A guy stands here.
And then, like, I got such a reaction from her that I just was like, this is the bit now. And so I just kept standing around the room. And it's just a guy with a coffee cup just standing there.
Save me! I'm begging you! He won't leave me! I filed an obscenity order against the
And it just worked. The editing helped a lot, like the stings and everything. But it then in the comments, everyone's like, the bystander. Well, Angela says the bystander, and then fans really like...
She'll be getting a lot of money.
Yes, I have to pay her royalties.
Yeah, I thought so.
But I'm like, I don't know anything about this guy, but we'll now build that out.
Which is so fun.
It's because fun.
I feel like those are characters created in TNTL.
Totally.
Because I watched that character, and I am like, oh, man, I'm just like imagining his backstory, imagining his life. It's funny because I don't really use the fans to color my characters, but I definitely play off of people. A lot of my characters will come from, you know, fucking around with people, doing bits with people, or seeing someone, or putting on an outfit. Like, I find myself at TNTL putting on the costume and then going like, who is this person?
Yeah.
And then having everyone backstage going like, oh, this is this person. Oh, this is this person. Oh, maybe this is this person.
You and Angela are the same, where you guys just make a costume without thinking about it.
We do not.
And then you walk out and then let it
come to life. We have an unspoken pact. We don't plan anything for TNTL. Not saying anything against planning. We just find it
you
more.
You love doing that.
I love it. Planning gets me stuck because I think that we come from a world where we had to plan so much stuff in order to be on stage. And it's like, for me, it's so freeing. So one of mine that's, I guess, it's not the same as bystander, but it's the same kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Is we did it, and it's for Prop Tart, the most recent TNTL Prop Tart. Which I don't think is out right now.
It probably,
but it will be. No, I don't think it is.
But it
will be. Okay, so, the prop was those angel wings.
Yeah.
And I was just backstage, and I was like, oh, okay. What if it's like a dove or whatever? And you guys are getting married, so I forced Angela and Tommy to go out there pretending they were getting married, and I grabbed the wings. And I was like, after they said I do, I go, I will now release the dove. And I just threw it into the air. And I was wearing this big coat, this weird wig. And Angela was dying. She was just like, dude, a person who releases birds at at celebrations, who announces himself, like he doesn't have enough money to have a team announce him, that he's like a hired like a clown that shows up at a party, except he's the one who releases like doves.
Those are the best characters. Just like just such a specific thing.
And usually I start with the backstory, but this one I'm like, I'm working backwards. I'm like, okay, I gotta think of the backstory for this. He lives at home with his mom. He's working on creating his business. Like, yeah, I just love those characters because it's like I don't know where they'll go. But they have life in some parts.
See, what I do, I think the reason I have so many characters from Try Not to Laugh is because I'll do something like that, and then I'm like, I'm going to bring this character back. Like, I bring it back. I think that's sometimes the thing is, like, people will do a great character, and then they're just like, that was awesome. And I'm like, no, like, bring it back.
Bring it
like,
back. Let the story build.
Yeah. Bring it back in some new context, whatever. Mm-hmm. I love to do that. And I've talked about it before, but I do it partially out of laziness because I'm like, sweet, if I just bring that character back, I don't have to think of a whole new bit. I can just keep doing the same bit over and over again.
Yep.
Different ways.
And it's so fun to bring that character back the whole time while someone's on the stool, which is what you did. And I loved that.
Yeah.
Because it's like the whole time when someone's on the stool, you get to just like add them back in.
Oh, yeah. And Try Not to Laugh. Ideally, we shouldn't be like taking turns. It's the bit never stops. You're
ever.
Just always can be out there. I love my favorite part in Try Not to Laugh is just whenever you're doing a bit or someone else is doing a bit and someone else hops in.
It's my favorite.
It's the best part of every single one of them. Mm-hmm. The more you're doing that, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we got out of that flow for a while and now we're back in it.
We're back in
it. And I feel like Try Not to Laugh is really crushing it right now.
It's so fun. It's therapy for me.
It's really, it is super fun. Like,
because it's just, you get 30 seconds and it's not really, I mean, of course I care if I make the person laugh, but that's not the main goal.
It's really not the goal.
I actually care if I make the crew laugh more than the person.
Oh, yeah,
sometimes.
For sure.
I'm like, that's who I want to make laugh because it's like, and it's always, for me, it's outfit, wig first. Voice is like last. Movement.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
What's for you?
I sort of plan. Like, I pseudo plan a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't plan everything. But I pseudo plan. Like, for instance, that one, I had written out the notes and I was like, I'm gonna silently go up and hand it to them. So I knew I knew the action of it, but then I just created the costume and everything. And that wasn't supposed to be a character. With a lot of other ones in the past, I have really just, like, it kind of comes to me. I'm trying to think, like, Dumpster Wizard.
I was there, man.
I was there, man. I definitely, like, really, like, I kind of know all of it.
Feral High, a whole series.
Okay, Feral High was exactly like you do, where I had not really thought of that at all. I just kind of threw it all on and then was like, it's just a high school show called Feral High on CW.
So funny.
And so I just went out and did that. Now, that's not really a character. That's just, like, kind of parodying the CW thing.
It was a premise-based character.
Have you had Try Not to Laugh jokes that were received far better than you expected? Because I've had
99% of them.
Some of my most popular jokes are ones where I'm like, really? I was like, that was not one of my good ones. Like, Feral High truly was like, this one sucks. And we just ended up doing so much around it. And I was like, really?
Shane,
like,
most of the thing I get quoted for are when I'm fucking up. Or when I'm like, Mexican salsa, yes. Or when I'm being an idiot. Someone on the street was like, oh my God, you're the Harambe girl.
The Harambe girl!
That's not the first time that's happened.
You've had Harambe girl multiple times now? When you're walking around the street?
Yes.
Holy shit, you're a meme.
Someone was like, oh my God, I recognize you. Oh, you're the girl who didn't know who Harambe was.
That's so funny.
That's my legacy.
Isn't it so insane? That now you understand how big Harambe was, that not knowing Harambe in 2024 made you a celebrity.
Yeah, definitely some friends were like, what are you doing? How did you not know who Harambe was?
How did you not know about that dead gorilla?
But yeah, my famous quotes are when I'm literally fucking up. So
yeah, but fine. Some of yours you put a lot of effort in. I mean, Sarah Christ is truly, and I feel like you knew that one like the back of your hand before you ever came out with it.
Sarah Christ is attached to my favorite thing in the world, which is female detectives on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They all, to me, they all, it's like they could all hang out together.
Yeah.
Because they all have very similar through lines, right? They're all trying to quit smoking. They all just have sex with random people in the bar and then are just like, ah, whatever, don't call me. And they're all like, kind of have a drinking problem, but don't. And they all have some weird, crazy backstory. They're not with a secure, grounded partner, but yet they get the job done, but they always lose their gun or badge over it. They're always about to get fired, and that's when they find the killer.
Did you fully improvise vodka coffee, or did you kind of know that that's what she drank?
Improvised.
That's insane.
I don't remember when I first started.
I don't remember when you first said it either, but
I remember,
it was like, vodka coffee.
I think it was for the live show. The thing is that me and Patrick McDonald, because Sarah Christ first happened when we started having those writing meetings with Smosh.
Right.
And the moment I pitched that, he got it. He completely got it. And he was just like, we had this whole idea of like her hair being wet, and it's never described why her hair is soaking wet, but it's the type of woman who hair is soaking wet and she puts him in a ponytail. So he was on the same page with me. And it's like, it's either wet because she just got a shower, or she jumped in the lake because she thought there was a body floating there. Like, that's where Wet Cop came in.
Fuck. Yeah, we called her Wet Cop for a long time.
Wet Cop was forever. But, like, once I know the character so well, I can improvise for hours on it.
Oh, and that's, I get that.
I know that sounds like a flex, but it's just
you're just in it.
You're just so, once you black out on a character, you're so, that's what I try to find all the time.
Yeah.
And so vodka coffee, lift my legs over my head.
God,
the
damn.
Improvised thing here.
Yeah.
Like, cigarette
that was
out.
Nuts. That was a trip.
Scott on sound was telling me that that was one of his first one of his first episodes doing sound on here. And he was like, yeah, I just thought that that's what you guys did for your podcast.
Fuck.
Tell me that. I'm like, you
that had to be so funny not knowing these characters at all, just being like, what the fuck is this?
Sarah Christ and Chosen doing Smosh Mouth every episode.
Pretty funny.
Pretty insane though.
But
yeah, I loved Wet Cop because she felt the closest to me. Like,
yeah,
the closest to like what I love.
You love playing tough characters, though.
I do. I love playing.
You play belligerent characters really well.
I love playing belligerent.
Like, they're belligerent. I don't mean like belligerent, like drunk. Just belligerent, like bold. Like, they're intense. They're not afraid.
They're not afraid.
Zero filter. Because you're Karen. I'd say your Karen and your Sarah Kreis are very similar in ways.
Yeah.
Like, they're both like gonna go in and demand what they need.
They're extremely bothered by people.
Yeah.
They are very direct and confrontational because they don't know any other way. Even if they're giving you a compliment, it sounds like they're yelling at you in a weird way.
Your Karen is unbelievable. Like, we've all, at Smosh, we've all played Karens at this point, but yours really stands above the rest.
Wow.
I feel like everyone would agree with that.
Wow.
Yours was nuts.
She was, and she's just from those videos that I watched, I was just like, ugh. And she comes from a place of like, it's not that, the thing is, I love my Karen. Like, I look at her and I'm like, love you, honey. But she's out of her mind.
Oh, she's a full psycho.
She's not crazy, but she's like, she's gone off the rails years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I think a lot of bad things have happened to her. See, I always try to find
the humanity.
I try to find and the good. Like, if there's a character I don't like, like, if I saw Karen on the street and, like, I have to find something about them that I really, really like in order
totally.
To enjoy. And there's something that I love about this Karen. And I think it's just her. She literally thinks that she is owed everything. She's
yeah.
Like, you owe me this.
Right.
Like, and that's kind of what I'm just like, damn right. But the rest of it, I'm like, oh, no.
Whew. Yeah.
Same with your aunt.
Aunt Carolyn. Yeah. I forget when I first did Aunt Carolyn. I think that was throughout the, pandemic, and because we had where a lot of my characters actually came from was Smosh Games, and I really want us to start bringing this back. But we would do Viva Smosh Vegas, where we would play blackjack, darts, and then we ended up like playing like Uno and just like random things. But it was just like kind of more card games and stuff, but I think I did it there. And Aunt Carolyn, the voice, that was one where I really did not know like the voice or mannerisms. Mm-hmm. I knew the POV of this person. Mm-hmm. The voice goes all over the place. It goes from John Mulaney to Lynn from Bob's Burgers. It's me just trying to like truly not just do like a woman voice.
But she has such a strong POV that it doesn't
matter. Well, the POV. Aunt Carolyn is truly based on just almost every woman in my family, just combined. Like,
oh my God.
Like combined and also a mess. But I say things from her that are truly like kind of quotes from family members sometimes. like just inspired by,
oh,
I would
say.
And the drinking is not really something. The drinking is just a fun added thing. just the wine aspect is just a fun addition, but just that no filter, I think she truly deep down means the best and she truly loves everyone. She wants everything to work out, but she has no filter. She's super ignorant, just completely unaware.
You know what she
But that's like, unfortunately, like that's a lot of women that I know that they'll say just they'll say women in their 60s sometimes like will just say things that it's just like, you believe that 100%. Like,
just
okay,
said that.
That's crazy, but it's the funniest thing. I just think it's such a funny, and I try to make her endearing. You know, I try to make her.
I love her so much because she's just like, she's just a woman who's in charge, and she's just like, I'm going to say what I need to say because the world needs to hear it.
Yes.
And there's something that I love so much about that, mm-hmm. is like one of our characters. No filter is the right word, but they're just so proud.
Yes. Oh, my characters. Every single one of my characters, I think that's a very common thing for me, is that my characters, well, it's also hard not to play it this way, but my characters are extremely confident in their ways.
Mine too.
But it's hard not to because you need a strong POV. I'm trying to think of characters that are not like absolutely certain in what they're doing. Even if they're an insecure character, they're certain in their insecurity. Because, like, Dumpster Wizard's whole thing is paranoia.
But he's confident.
But he knows for 100% that things are going to go wrong. But my characters are often uber confident in a lot of ways. I mean, Courtney Freakin' Miller, The Chosen, and Aunt Carolyn are, like...
Even I was there.
You're not going to change their perspectives.
Yeah.
They are...
And if you do, it's for, like, 2 seconds when they're vulnerable. Like, yeah. Wet Cop, she could possibly have a moment where she could, like, think about a farm life with a good man. And it's probably, like, right after sex. She's about to light
for up. Like, 2 seconds.
She's about to light up a cigarette, and then she's like, get out.
Get out of that. Get out of my head.
I would say, I think I love self-deprecating characters. I love, like, kind of scared characters, but I don't often play them.
Yeah, I haven't seen you play, like, a nervous or scared
I was
character.
Thinking one of them that I have played, but he's not soft-spoken, but he is self-deprecating, is Damien's voiceover agent.
Oh, dude.
For Damien's funeral.
Dude, that character was unbelievable.
That character was so fun to play, and what happened, I genuinely blacked out, because I was working it out with Patrick and Jeremy, and I don't think I pushed him to that place that I brought him there. But when he got up on the stand, he was so, like, bug-eyed. He was lost.
You were destroyed.
I was destroyed, and I think it was more that. I wouldn't say self-deprecating, but he was destroyed. And I think that was just... It was nice not to play such a confident character.
Yeah.
Actually... I guess he was confident in his destruction.
Yeah.
But also, he was just so... I think he wasn't like, I know all. He was just destroyed. And it was really fun to get lost in that. Mm-hmm. Because I think when I play a confident character, the Amanda steps in sometimes and is like, I got this.
Yeah.
Like, we got this. Whereas, like, someone who's a mess...
Yeah.
The Amanda goes away, and then I can black out into the character.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Because I haven't seen you play like a... Wait. You have... For Drew's funeral, you did play...
Well, that was kind of myself. I played an unconfident guy.
I didn't say it.
I can play it. I just don't have any characters that I've really leaned hard into that. It'd be fun. That's like a good idea for the next one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's confidence. And then going back to Aunt Carolyn, you know, because this is kind of the same for you with voiceover agent. You know, I know you were at Groundlings making characters for so long, and they have that rule where you can't play the opposite gender.
Yeah.
Did they recently? They recently got rid of it.
It's changed, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember hearing about that, where it's like, no, men can't play women, women can't play men. Mm-hmm. And I'm like...
Unless you slay it. I remember that.
Oh, really?
In Sunday Company, they were like, unless you can prove to me that you can kill it.
Interesting.
But it was...
Yeah. I've always been nervous when... I mean, nobody's ever said anything, but I was always nervous... throughout playing characters that were women, because I was like, I never want the joke to be that I'm a man playing a woman. I'm like, when I'm playing a character, I'm like, this is the character. And the character is funny, not because of anything appearance-wise. They're funny because of, like, their POV, as an individual POV. So I think that's why with Aunt Carolyn, the voice kind of goes all over the place, because I'm like, I'm really not trying to make that the joke of Aunt Carolyn.
I think when men try to play women, what we don't enjoy is when they're like, hi, Aunt Carolyn.
Exactly.
La, la, la. And it's like... I'm sure men don't enjoy when girls are like, ah, yeah, I want to see my dick.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, like...
Because I'm trying to remember when you played Damien's voiceover agent, because I was a guy. I feel like, I don't even remember what the voice...
He was up here, and he kept pulling out his hair, and he was up here.
Yeah.
And people kept saying that I looked like Amanda Bynes and She's the Man. And
that's
I was like,
funny.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
I
God.
See it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I focus more on, like unique inflection and more, like, the... I don't worry about where my... Because I'm like, my voice is going to sound like my voice to a certain degree. I'm not going to sound...
That's how you should think.
Like,
and honestly, I really think the POV can color your voice.
Oh,
like,
totally.
If you're a really stressed out person, it can be... And if you're really confident...
Well, and after a couple seconds, you're not thinking about that anymore. Like, you don't care. But with Aunt Carolyn... I definitely, because that's the only character, because Courtney freaking Miller, I've established at this point, is just, doesn't even count as a human. Like, just, I think I've established that they are a supernova that just, this is their human
from
form.
From another planet. Yeah.
They're not even real. And I just play that like a friggin' wrestler. Like, I just have such a, that's the character I probably, honestly, I would say The Chosen, but that Courtney freaking Miller, I really get lost in. Because I'm just like, whatever I'm doing has to be the most extreme version of it. But yeah, no, I mean, so I'm trying to think.
I know there's no timeline to us
tough.
Our characters.
Yeah,
there is no timeline because it's just like when we're shooting all the time, they'll like pop in or they'll be created years ago and they'll come back.
I know their order because Courtney freaking Miller was first. Mm-hmm. Did that forever ago. I've told that story about how that happened by chance that Courtney was sick and I hopped in. And I was just like, Courtney.
I love that story.
And it just kind of kept coming back. And that was my only character for years. And then I didn't have like an established character until 2019 was when I did Dumpster Wizard. And that was for Try Not to Laugh. And that was just purely a bit of just like he's and we called him the Harbinger for a long time because that's what he was.
Wow.
Where it's like the old man in a horror movie who's like, looking to go down there, like, don't do it. And it just kind of kept becoming something more. It was really just that bit. And I haven't really taken him out beyond it too much because, for one, it's hard to do. Like, it's really a lot. But that's just what I pictured in my head. But I'm like, okay, and I now that I know, like, he's a paranoid guy who is really nervous about people, like, people need to know about a danger. I'm like, I wonder if there's ways to get him out of just the Try Not to Laugh space.
Definitely.
But a character that I actually had that I have struggled with the most is Bryce Chryson. And we did that canceled video, the board game, where you were a Karen and I was... Bryce Chryson's the guy who's like got the sunglasses.
And
he's like a fuckboy kind of guy. Like,
yes.
And I have a really hard time playing him because I don't do well playing characters that are like shitty. Because
you don't like them.
By nature. Well, I don't like them, but I try to make him endearing because I want to have them have a good.
Yeah.
And I ultimately, but I also wanted him to be like this fuckboy guy. But I'm like, I hate like. Anything regarding like sex or flirting or anything is so hard to do without the character just being like disgusting.
It's so hard to do a character
or like not likable.
If you don't like the heart of it, I get it.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of reasons and a lot of them built over time, but one of the reasons why I made Chosen like that he's sworn off of sex and everything was also just to make that character easier to play.
Yeah.
That I'm like, we're not... Like, I just, that's not an aspect.
That's what's cool to know about yourself, because you have to do those characters to go, why don't I want to play that person? Why don't I want to get in that outfit?
Yeah.
Oh, because I don't like the heart of it.
I like the heart of Bryce Chryson.
You do?
I made him into a good, he's just a stupid guy.
Okay.
He's really dumb.
Okay.
He thinks he's really hot. He thinks he's hot shit.
Well, then there you go.
But it's hard to... Like, I just don't want him. I don't know. I'm still figuring out how he interacts with other people. Because I remember in that video, just being like, I don't know what to say to people or whatever. It's like it's tough.
There was a video that you did with him, and it was one of my first like sketch videos. One of my first. I was playing an agent or something, and you were in that video, and I had just witnessed this character. This was years ago.
Yeah.
And you had said something as that character, and I was like, oh, that's really funny. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's
that was our house tour.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, Bryce Chryson and Brianna Boho.
Were you talking about, like, the eclipse or the moon?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that video. That was a video where I felt like I really kind of tapped into him a little bit more. And you know what? I think he works with Brianna Boho as, like, a stupid boyfriend.
What was your, like, moon comment? Do you remember
it? I forget. Something about the eclipse. I remember, like, looking at the eclipse.
Oh, shit.
What
is that? We got a meteor or something coming towards Earth.
Babe, that's not, that's...
What is that?
Babe, that's the
is that
moon.
Big, what?
That's the moon.
What is?
The moon?
It's like a big rock that lights up at night.
Here.
What?
That's the moon.
What? Is that like a, that's the biggest NFT I've ever seen in my life.
That moon makes my period happen.
Oh, like a werewolf.
You said, and I thought it was so funny because it's like, I love this stupid boy who like secretly kind of like loves like the moon and astrology, but has zero idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think that's his vibe. I think he's like, oh, he's definitely putting on a front. He's definitely trying to be cool in so many ways. But I think he works in the context of Brianna Boho, but like actually trying to be like flirty or whatever. It's just hard. It's hard as a character to do that.
He just needs a direction. Like either he's going to cover up that he's like really sweet and kind, or he's just going to be really sweet and kind, but in the body of a dumb boy.
Yeah. And he's based on so many like, he's based on, you know, hype beasts and fuck boys. So he's based on a lot of shitty people. Like,
and all those
unlikable people
are like, Mom, come pick me up.
But I wanted him to evolve into something more fun. But I just haven't played him that much. Like,
that's really, the other thing.
Really haven't played him a lot because it's just kind of like, I don't know, like, how to play him. And I have all these other characters that just fit in so many more contexts. And
you're so much more of a weirdo. That's the other thing is, like, you, Shane, take this as a compliment. You're a weirdo in the best way ever. You're a little weirdo and a nerd in the best way. And that's why you can slip into characters. And, like, I don't like playing, like, a hot chick or, like, a really, like, I don't know. It's just not, I don't find it that fun. It's like, I'd rather play this damaged detective. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that the people who play hot people are dumb. I'm just saying that I don't find it as fun
for sure
to play. And I know that
it's
you
not
don't
a
either.
POV that you enjoy and find the depth in.
Like, yeah.
I get that because as soon as I started playing The Chosen, I was just like, this is so much fun. But it also comes from such a real place for me.
Yeah.
Like The Chosen, I have said before, The Chosen, I think, is in many ways my ego. Like, that's what my ego is. Like, it's like, and I think everyone plays The Chosen well to a degree, because I'm like, that is your ego.
That is the
it's,
ego being like,
when you think about it, your ego is so silly that your ego's like, what if I'm the chosen one? It's like, no, you're absolutely not. It's so funny. Yeah. Think about how silly that sounds. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fun to play where I'm like, everything that I say has to be the most epic shit ever, but I have to reach for the knowledge that I have, and my knowledge is about like stupid things, but I have to throw it out as if it's like the key to understanding the universe.
I think that's why this character, that's why you can literally improvise for hours in this character, and it has so many legs, because it is a real part of you that you are understanding put into a character.
But my real crowning achievement of The Chosen is that the first video I did, it was Blackjack, which we need to do again. We need to play Blackjack again because it's so funny to play as characters.
I love it.
But I'm playing it, and then halfway through, I realized I had not said my name. And I think Sarah Whittle goes like, what's your name, by the way? And I truly had not thought of it. And so I was just like,
my name is Spencer Agnew.
Spencer Agnew. And I just threw it out there, and it was just really stupid to say. And then I think the crowning achievement is that I think Spencer plays The Chosen the best out of anyone, because I'm like, he is The Chosen. Like, I kind of nailed it. Like, I'm like, when we did our Trivial Pursuit, which has just kind of blown up on TikTok for months, and it's all just Spencer quotes. His quotes from it go viral all the time. And it's like, Spencer's playing The Chosen, but is he?
I
think Spencer's just Spencer in that video. And
he was in Chosen outfit the other day, and I was like, man, you do look really good with that shark tooth necklace. And
it's
like,
just his vibe.
I'm in The Chosen. I was like, oh, I thought those were your real clothes,
I just
bro.
Thought that's just your vibe, man. No, it really, truly is him. It's so fun.
I love that
The Chosen at this point is played by everyone. Like, The Chosen's become like this weird thing where everyone's The Chosen. We've established that every universe has its
so
own
fun.
Version.
I love that.
It's my favorite part about it at this point.
I did want to say that when I was talking about playing sexy characters, that it's hard. I think playing sexy women is very, like, not as fun for me.
Yeah.
But playing fuckboys is very fun for me, as we all know.
Dude, yeah, you and then I would say it's fascinating. Courtney plays dudes.
Crushes it.
It's so funny to see Courtney play Dominic.
Yeah.
And then also play Brianna Boho.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like tapping into these two different spheres.
Yes.
And playing them so well that you actually forget.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy how well she gets into those
two
characters.
Two different parts.
She really loses herself, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. to a crazy degree. And what people often don't see is she kind of doesn't get out of the characters sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, when she's Brianna Boho, she's, like, kind of Brianna Boho. And when she's Dominic, she just is on and off camera. And, like, it's wild.
You kind of have to stay in it for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, some are just fun to stay in.
Yeah.
Like, The Chosen, I find myself, I don't smile as much when I'm wearing The Chosen sunglasses.
No, you don't.
I just, because it's just like, no, like, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I got to be serious right now. It's a blast. It's a total blast.
I would say that the most fun that I have that I would never want to get out of and is very fuckboy is Tinky Winky.
Yeah, dude.
Dude.
You love
Tinky
that.
Winky is one of the hottest men to you know, me.
I realized that was okay. That was a character where I that was a character where I wasn't a confident character.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were a little shit. You were Lala.
I was Lala. Oh my god.
You were
god.
So
oh, I was shitty. I was stirring
so
the pot.
Shitty.
I was stirring the pot. I was trying to hurt people.
You were woe is me. You were and that just put Tinky Winky spikes up because Tinky Winky's kind of like a very chill guy. Like he's honestly he's like Bill Nye in Love Actually. Like, he's like, Christmas is all around you, mate.
Yeah.
And then when fucking Lala's there, it's the only time he raises his voice.
Yeah.
When Lala's there, because Lala is, he can't stand Lala because Lala is everything he hates. It's like someone who's just like, nah, I'm not getting enough. And Tinky Winky's like, mate, you got to make
and I would
a life for yourself.
Say the opposite for Lala because it was just like, you're not taking anything seriously.
Exactly.
Like, this is serious shit.
Which is why those characters are so fun.
That video is fucking chaos.
I've watched that video so many times because what people don't understand is that it's like 80% improvised and the rolling was 100% improvised.
Oh, yeah. No, we did not. We knew the like drama between the characters a little bit but when we got in there it just all let loose and I think when I
put on the tiny little blonde mustache and the like the 70s glasses I was in yeah. I mean it didn't matter I was like I'm a fuck boy
yeah
and I'm in a huge Teletubbies Tinky Winky outfit. And I could have stayed in him forever.
Yeah.
And I could think of all these things. And I think it's because I like tapped into this like the Amanda tapped into like the cool British guy who was like, yeah, mate, yeah, we got this lovely villa like up in Italy. Like, you should come for dinner sometime. I'll pick you up on my boat. Like, we all kind of know that guy. And I was like, or we've seen them on TV. And the Amanda in me is like, oh, he's so cool.
Yeah.
And so being him. But he's in this big, tinky
winky. We
looked
so stupid.
We looked so dumb.
Yeah. That video's a cult hit, man. Like, that was from a time when we weren't getting many views on the main channel. And, like, that one was popular. People love that
Yeah,
video.
People love that. And I also, I do miss Legacy when we got to play
playing
new characters. I mean,
really
you and me, you played a lot of characters. Didn't you die a lot?
I died
you died the
so
most.
So much. So I had to keep playing characters. Honestly, dying was kind of great.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I'll play a new character.
So with Legacy, if you haven't seen it on the game channel, so fun. It's a game that we played, but every year we played a version of someone in our family lineage. And every time you died, you had to play a new character. And we came up
we
with so
dying.
Many fun characters.
Yeah. You played a lot of guys in that.
Yeah, I played a total fuckboy.
Yeah.
That was like in love with Angela. Mm-hmm. Forget my name. What was
so many names.
Something.
So freaking many in that.
But that was an amazing place to create characters.
Yeah. No, it was really fun. I realized none have really come back. Like, we didn't spill over into other things. But, yeah, that was such a blast.
And also, those are like structured games, but I feel like the biggest, one of my favorite characters that I played on Smosh based off of a bit was Bernadette. Me and Tommy being a married couple, and Tommy is very clearly into men. And we played that because my first VidCon, we were just joking that we were a married couple. And I was like, he loves me. And he's like, well, and it's like very clear that he's with me because he cares about me, but we don't. And that playing that character on Couples Therapy was so enjoyable because
we really had a lot of shows so there for fun. A while that were like character stuff.
Character heavy.
It's hard sometimes to make characters nowadays when like things don't fully gear towards it. But I'd love for us to try to make those avenues again.
I know. I think with Smosh is like there needs to be more structured ways to do it. Like us playing werewolf the other day, we were able to create characters in that.
That was fun.
But it's like more structure and yeah, just like more things to do and costumes and wigs.
Just asking for it. Yeah. I really want us to have a darts competition.
You really want to do these darts and blackjack.
Okay, imagine in this room we have a dart board set up like right here.
Yeah, and Selena's just throwing darts while we're doing the podcast.
And while we're doing the podcast. No, no. Imagine the Smosh Mouth sign's not right there.
Okay.
We have a dart board right there or like against one of these walls. And then like we all are characters in a darts competition. And we step up one at a time to do our turns. We did this forever ago. I was Chosen versus Spencer played Bullseye from the Daredevil.
I was like the target dog?
No. No.
What?
The target dog?
Are you crazy?
Is his name Bullseye?
You're insane.
What?
You're crazy.
Yeah, Spencer played a dog.
Don't worry about it.
but we did that. It was so much fun, and I want to bring it back, but I want for us to all bring characters, and then whoever wins, that character comes back for the next episode, but then it's three completely new characters that face off against.
Wait, that's such a fun, like, revolving door.
And we just keep going. It's just the darts league. And
we're pitching it right now.
Pitching it right now, so we have to do
darts league.
Because I pitched Sniper Chess here, and that was a hit.
Yeah.
So
make this darts a hit league. Again.
I mean, this is already something we've done, but we should bring it back, and we should make it a whole league.
I also want to
play blackjack again.
Yeah, you really want to play some blackjack.
Blackjack was so fun. As Chosen, it was so stupid. And I realized a bit that I did as Chosen in blackjack that I've not brought back that much is every number that was said, I would be like, it would be like, it's an eight. And I go, eight. The age I became a man. Like, I just, every number was the age I became a man.
Oh, my God. I love
very
that.
Fun, but we need to bring it back. Yeah.
Did he become a man ever?
Well, I think he means like he faced his first challenge or something. No, Chosen is never... I had to forsake all intimacy to study the blade.
No fap.
Exactly.
Now I know what that means.
Yeah, you literally do. It's a real thing. There's real Chosens out there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's characters that I haven't mentioned.
I have another one for right now is Abigail Bunt. The suffragette.
Is that a character you think you could improvise as?
Yes.
You haven't brought that character back, have you?
No. There hasn't been really a place for me to bring her back. Although I could bring her back for TNTL, but I'd have to get her whole outfit.
That's a tough outfit.
Because here's the thing. She lives in the suffragette world. She could be in the modern world, but we'd have to understand why she's there because she's women vote, and you know
it worked really well for when you brought her
it
out.
Did
that's another thing,
sometimes they live and die in the place.
That's okay
Like I could bring her back, but she's very, to me, she's specific, but I can take pieces of her.
Totally.
Like
we can rebuild her.
We can rebuild her like a little robot.
Yeah, it's tough. Like we have to kind of have characters be sort of simple so that you can kind of throw it on at any point.
Right, like she's specific to an era, right? Like, yeah. I guess she could go to like a grocery store or like...
Yeah.
And be like,
we'll send you to
have you voted? Because you're a woman. But it's like...
God.
But also I could take her voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's such a good character.
She was so fun to play. She's also confident.
Yeah.
So I have to play less confident characters.
Yeah.
I also don't love playing rich characters.
I don't.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
huh? A lot of my characters aren't rich either. They're all broke.
They're all broke. I haven't played a rich character in a. I don't remember the last. I mean, Tinky Winky's rich.
Oh yeah, the Teletubbies are rich. What am I saying? Yeah.
Yeah, he's super rich.
Absolutely.
Other than
that, they're loaded.
They're loaded.
I wonder how rich the Teletubbies actually are. Like in their little universe.
You know what I heard about the Teletubbies? As the woman whose backyard they filmed the Teletubbies on.
I didn't realize it was a backyard.
It was like her land.
Oh, Jesus.
It was her land, and she had to, there's like a pond in the Teletubbies. No, there's like a little fake home in the Teletubbies. So many fans or people were coming to look at it that she was put a like a pond there. She totally got rid of it.
That reminds me of the owners of the Breaking Bad house deal with so much bullshit.
Oh, really?
Because people know where the Breaking Bad house is, so they go there, and they're just pissed.
How do they find out where the Breaking Bad house is?
I think it's public knowledge. I think it's sad. I just am like, that's someone's house. But like, maybe they bought it and didn't realize it was the Breaking Bad house, and now they got to deal with that. But it's like, okay, you go and you see a regular-looking house, and it's like, that's it.
Well, we went to San Francisco with my UCB team, and the Full House is there.
Oh.
And we went there.
Someone lives there now.
Like
someone's living in the Full House.
And my friend on my team was like, "Oh my god, I'm so excited about this!" And we were all like, "Oh my god, there it is!" And the guy across the way was like, "Can you please keep it down?" Like he clearly, fans clearly stop there all the time and go, "Wow!" And the neighbors are just
I'd lose my shit.
Yeah, the neighbors.
If every couple minutes you hear, "Hey, it's the Full House." Can you imagine? I'd be so upset. Just on repeat all day every day.
I would go up the hill and go, "No, it's not.
It's not actually.
It's not actually. That's so weird. You must have got the address wrong."
What's stupid is that they only filmed the exteriors there. They just got a couple shots of the exteriors of that house.
They didn't film it inside?
I'm not going to film
I'm
inside.
Kidding. I'm a cool set person.
Dude, I changed the subject. Can I tell you how, like, blown away I was when I found out that Friends was shot in L.A.?
Oh, no. You thought it was in New York?
That's not stupid to think.
No, I don't.
Seinfeld was shot in New York, so I thought like.
No, I don't think you're stupid. Hey, man.
But like, it was just something. Like, as a kid, I knew it wasn't like a real apartment in New York. I just was like, oh, it's based in New York. They shot it in New York.
I'm saying, oh no, that's such a bummer to find that out. That's like finding out the Easter Bunny's not real.
I mean, not at all. I didn't give that much of a shit about Friends.
The Easter Bunny.
I was just blown away. I wasn't sad. I was just blown away.
So where was it filmed? In L.A.
Literally in Los Angeles.
In a set.
Yeah.
That's really sad. It's just sad, you know?
It just has such a New York vibe, and I'm just like, oh, that's crazy. But it makes perfect sense. It's a sitcom. There's no,
The coffee shop was a set, too.
There's no real, the windows, there's nothing outside there. Like, it's easy to fake it. It's just, I don't know why. I was like, wait, how did they shoot it in LA? But as a kid too, you're watching that stuff and you do forget that it's a set. Like the diner on Seinfeld, I was like, oh, well, they shoot it at this diner. It's like, of course they fucking don't. They build all this shit.
I know,
but
that makes me sad. It's like, I wish that they did. It makes me sad.
It would be a nightmare.
I know, but it's like, you're not going to know this movie whatsoever, and it's okay. But Practical Magic, okay?
No Practical
Magic. All right, well, listen. So it was shot on Whidbey Island in Seattle. I went there. It was so cool. I brought Garde there. I was like, and I was like looking for the house. I was like, where's the house that they shot this? It's a gorgeous house. And they're like, they built that for the movie and then tore it down immediately. And I was like, the house? It was heartbreaking.
It was fake?
It was heartbreaking. The house is so cool.
It's like finding out that Home Alone, they built that house in like a pool.
What?
Yeah. At least some of the shots of that, they built like a lot of that house in a pool.
What, I don't know
because
what that
remember
means.
They flood the house the end of the, it's flooded.
Yes.
So they, it was in a, all of that, that.
That's the neighbor's house.
That entire, yes.
A Home Alone
yes.
house, you can, so, you can get on Airbnb.
Right. But that's the exterior of the Home Alone house. The interior of the Home Alone house, a lot of the set, I believe, was built at a school.
This is so sad.
I
wait a second.
This is from the movies that made us.
I love that show.
They talk about Home Alone.
So that house was built in a pool so they could flood it.
Yeah, at least the basement thing. I might be completely wrong, or partially wrong, because I know that this was talked about in it.
You know, when I was a kid, when I watched that scene, all I could think about was, how are they going to get all that water out of that person's house?
I know.
That's what I think about.
The fucking wet bandits.
The wet bandits.
Those fuckers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Movies That Made Us is great. The Halloween house is still a thing.
Okay.
It's in Pasadena, South Pasadena. And if you go there on Halloween, Mike Myers is out on the front porch waving.
Oh, he's going to get you.
And I went there last Halloween for 2 seconds, and it was hilarious and
really?
Very scary. Because you can stand on the street and wave at him, and he's just standing there waving.
Is it? It's like a machine or something?
No, it's a real man.
Just standing there for hours?
Hours.
Waving?
Yes. He probably gets subbed out by another actor.
Oh,
it's,
God.
It's the Halloween house.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyways. How often do you come up with new characters or think about it?
It depends. If I'm shooting a lot here, I'm not normally out like looking at people and then writing them down. But if I'm on a trip or on vacation or I'm chilling at my house, I have to be out in the world to really,
yeah.
Or watch something. I did watch a show, a documentary, and I did text Angela and I was like, can we please do these characters?
TikTok and TV shows can really be a
TV
good
shows. Thing. If I'm not going out in public that much, like I will be like, oh, there's this new show that I'm obsessed with. And of course I texted, and it just came out. I texted Angela. I was like, have you seen the show? She was like, honey. Because her and I watched pretty much the same thing. The show is really dark.
Okay.
It's called Homicide New York.
You would watch a show called...
So anyways, yeah. It's like the most fucked up stories in New York. Anyways, it's fine. It's not fine. But...
It's all okay.
The two women who are interviewed are unbelievable. And also, I want to play them. They're very, very Brooklyn, and they very much talk like this, and they're very serious, and they're very serious, and one of them is, she investigates the body, and this is how she talks. She goes, the guys come in there, the crime scene is theirs, the body is mine. And she goes, there were 5 shots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it was crazy. New York was a crazy time. And then the other girl's like, yeah, I was a beauty queen back in the day, and New York is a crazy time. But I come in there and I've got a good personality. So blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching this and I was like, Angela, somehow we have to play these characters, these women who like diehard New Yorkers, diehard Manhattan. And so I watch that and then I get really, really inspired. And I think when I get inspired by a character and I write it down, it's like I've opened up the floodgates that I start being like,
nice.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but I probably can't play another detective.
Well, is she a detective? She's their detective.
She investigates the body. Yeah, the other one's the detective.
Yeah, you could just play a whole gauntlet of every sort of criminal investigator.
I could. I mean, I do. I definitely get inspired by Instagram. One of my favorite characters I've ever played was over COVID. And I was watching Instagram and casting directors freaking out over COVID. They were like trying to keep the industry going. They were like, send me submissions. So me and my friend would film each other at each other's houses and send it in and play these casting directors. And my name was Irene. And she's, you know, I can't even figure out her voice. She's like, it's me, Irene, and I want you to send me a video. And it's like they're old Hollywood agents who want you to send submissions. And we just made Instagram videos and people were like obsessed. And then we made an Instagram account
for Irene,
and we just Irene and Mary Boutique Agency, and we just we would have our friends follow us, and then like random people started following us, and this was all during COVID.
Fun.
And it was so fun because we were just, our first video was literally a fuck around. We were just having fun. And then I think that that's like the most fun that you can have is just like a fuck around video and get inspired by something that you watch. And of course, my agent, who I'm not with anymore, was like, is this me? Are you doing me? And I was
were
like,
you?
No, I was not doing her at all. I was doing a random woman.
Is the character at all like your? Like...
Not at all. Okay. She was like, I knew it. I just, a friend asked me if it was me, and I just,
and I was like,
no, it's not you.
Oh, God.
At all. But it was just like, those characters had that in them.
Yeah.
Of like, not good with technology, posting these videos to actors, like, actors, attention.
Yeah.
You probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
It's still kind of going on.
Yeah.
I still watch them where it's like, there's one video that I saw the other day that was like, actors are fucked. Part one.
I mean, we are.
Yeah, we but I don't want to see it on my Instagram.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
It makes me think, talking about those voices and stuff, makes me think sometimes something I do is when I'm driving or if I'm like just brushing my teeth or looking in the mirror or whatever, I'll be like, I need to think of a new voice that I can do, because that is tough. I do rely on the same voices a lot, because I voices are just never really at the forefront of a character or an impression. Mm. I like more the physical mannerisms a little bit more. Mm. But there are times, I hate to admit, where I'm just in the mirror and I'm like, what if I talk like this?
That's amazing.
What if I talk like that? Or what if I talk like this? And I'm trying to figure out something new that I can do as a voice, and then I can match that to a POV later.
Wait, Shane, that's amazing. That's literally what we were taught at Growlings. Except it was walk, they would be called character walk and talks. So you walk around and they'd be like, put your chin to your neck.
I remember doing that.
Right? And then you're creating a new voice, or you're creating a new voice like this.
Yeah.
And so if you do it in the mirror, that's so amazing, because then you could be like, what, who connects to this voice?
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know. I'm basically a groundling.
There she is. There's Aunt Carolyn.
There she is. Oh, dear. Oh, God.
That does sound so much like John Mulaney.
It unfortunately becomes very much, which I can do an exact John Mulaney of just
so
like,
good.
I'm just like, so I was in the bathroom the other day and someone knocked on the door. Well, I was in the bathroom. Like, it's hard not to go in. And then I can do the Lynn from Bob's Burgers. I'm just like, oh, Bob. Oh, that's so great. And so it's a tennis match going back and forth between those two voices.
You know I love that guy who does Lynn.
Yo.
I followed him on YouTube in college. On Mother's Day, my son, he moved to New York, and now he's gay. He's gay. He moved to New York.
It's so good. I had never seen that. And I was like, you showed it to me, though, but I had never seen it until after I'd been doing Aunt Carolyn. I was just like, that's insane.
He's brilliant. He did these videos where he would tape scotch tape up here. And he wore this pink jacket. And he'd be like, Jackie, we need to talk. Jackie. He was like in high school.
Stuff is great.
He's so good.
I wish it's on TikTok now, but I think... It's on TikTok, and I think people are doing a lot more, like, direct impression types of characters. But just, like, full-on original characters, mm-hmm. I think, are not being rewarded as much as they used to be.
Yeah.
I think Smosh is honestly this weird little place where it's happening online. There are other people who are doing characters, and it's doing great. Don't get me wrong. I just mean, like, compared to... 10 years ago, I feel like it's not as rewarded. And I think when it's not as rewarded, people don't go for it as much.
But it's so amazing to watch. I mean, think of all these television shows. They're all based on original characters.
I know. And the best like SNL characters are all like original characters. It's iconic. And it's honestly fun when it's an original character that's not like some sort of biting satire of someone.
Yes.
It's just a fun original character that's
relatable.
Well-meaning. It's a nice person. It's just a funny POV or trait that is enjoyable.
That's why we cannot let it die. We have to keep
the fire burning.
We have to keep the fire burning.
It's up to us.
It is up to us. We have the world on our shoulders.
Basically, what we've decided is that it's up to us. And so we're going to do it. Don't worry about it. Well, this has been fun. We'll talk more about characters.
Yeah, because hopefully maybe we'll have like six new more when
we should do it. I want to do another episode where we're characters for a whole episode.
Ooh, I'm down. Should we ask, put in the comments what characters?
Yeah, what characters would you want to see a duo of?
A duo of.
Yeah, on the show.
Could be Tinky Winky and Lala.
Oh, Jesus.
We could
just straight up do a Teletubbies reunion on this podcast, probably.
Yeah, so the people just listening are just like, okay,
we just get all four of us and we just jam ourselves in here and then we talk. Could be fun.
That could be really fun.
Thank you guys for listening and watching.
Guys,
comment down below. Yeah, what pairs you'd want to see on here and other characters you think we could do.
Yes.
Tell us the type of vibe.
Type of POV.
Yeah, then we'll try to do it. All right.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Smosh mouth, smosh mouth. Smosh mouth.